VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
March 2020, a VCY rally in Southeast Wisconsin with Speaker Usama Dakdak. The presentation, The True Nature of Islam. Right out the gate here, we will tell you we could probably fill up 2 hours to share all that Usama brings in this presentation. More importantly would be for you to own your own DVD copy to watch in its entirety and then to share with a friend. We'll tell you how to do that at the end of today's broadcast. For now, let's get started. Usama begins here in this first segment, detailing the five pillars of Islam. To the rally we go with our host, Jim Schneider.
Usama was born in Egypt. He was actually raised in a Christian home, but he was sent to Egyptian school where he had to study Sharia and Islamic law, as all other students were taught Islam and Islamic doctrines. And he came here to the States some years ago and started the Straightway of Grace ministry, of which he travels to this country to whoever will allow him to come in. Whoever will allow him to come and speak to their church or group, he has gone to share the burden on his heart as it relates to Islam. We've invited him back to speak on the true nature of Islam, to open our eyes of understanding to what this topic is all about. He wants as much time as he can have, so we're going to turn things over to him. Let's give him a warm Wisconsin welcome to the Waukesha Expo.
Thank you. Have a seat. Thank you so much. It was good to see you tonight. Straightway of Grace Ministry is a traveling ministry, as Brother Jim said. The name of our ministry, as you see on the screen, comes from two verses. The first verse from the Quran, that's Quran chapter 1, verse 5, where Muslims pray to Allah and they repeat these words 17 times a day. Guide us to the straight way. We're going to learn a little more about the straight way as we continue our study. Now, their answer for that request will never be known until you, the Christian, share with them who is the straight way. Until we, the Christian, tell them about Jesus Christ, the only way to eternal life. Amen? This is the topic. The true nature of Islam. What do Muslims believe? Can you imagine? That is the first thing Brother Jim wants me to talk to you in next 15 minutes. The true nature of Islam. What do Muslims believe? Well, Muslims believe in nothing. You may think I'm joking. I literally believe Muslims believe in nothing. When you examine the early Muslim believers, those are the bad ones, the Arab, as you read the Quran, they told Muhammad, we believed. And Muhammad's answer was, do not say we believe, but we submit or we surrender. Why is that, Allah? Allah said, because faith never enter your heart. To be a Muslim is to submit, it is to surrender, not to believe, as I'm going to prove it to you tonight. Now, they teach our children in our public schools the pillars of Islam. Sadly, it's been 15, 16 years I've been trying to teach the church about what the Muslims are doing to our children in our public schools in America. And until today, 16 years later, the church is still in a coma. You have no clue what the Muslims are teaching your children in our public schools. They're brainwashing them again, as they did to some of your generation 50 years ago with the science of evolution. No, it was not a science. It was the theory of evolution. And the church did not speak against the theory of evolution 50 years ago. That's why today we're learning the evolution in our public school as if it is a fact, as if it is a science. Same thing is happening for the last 15 years about Islam. After September 11, instead of the American people learn the truth about Islam and protect themselves and this country from the Muslims, no. We gave our children to the Muslims to teach them whatever they wish to learn about Islam. As a matter of fact, they don't teach them seven pillars. They only teach them five pillars. And here's what they teach our children. They will tell them Muslims believe that there is no God except Allah. Or sometimes they say except God. Why? Because they want to teach our children that Allah is God. And Muslims believe that Muhammad is his messenger. I'm sorry. The word here is shahada. Shahada means to bear witness. There are twofold witness. First, to bear witness that there is no God except Allah, not God.
Second, to bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. This is the foundation of Islam. You say that in Arabic language one time, you are automatically a Muslim. For example,
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.
Ashhadu
an la ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah.
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 وأشهد
أن محمدا
محمدا.
This is a Portugali player, famous guy, and he's saying the Shahada in the Arabic language, because if you say it in English, Allah will not understand you. He said to him, say, Ashhadu, and the man in the middle. I don't even know why the man in the middle have to say the same thing in Arabic. Ashhadu, anna la ilaha illallah. He said, I bear witness that there is no God except Allah. You know what he said? He said, Ashhadu, anna la ilaha. I bear witness there is no God. So they quickly correct him. Illallah, illallah, except Allah. Oh, except Allah. Wa ashhadu, and I bear witness, anna Muhammadan, anna mudamdaman, anna muhadhadam, anna muhadamam, mudahdamam. He gave every way, but he could not say Muhammad. How much that gentleman do you think know about Islam? Muslims bear witness which goes against Sharia. What Sharia teach? To bear witness you have to see by your eyes, to hear by your ear, to smell by your nose, to touch by your hand, to taste by your tongue. You have to use at least one of your senses to be a witness. Now all Muslims all over the world today bear witness that Muhammad is a messenger of Allah. Have they seen Muhammad? No. Have they heard Muhammad? No. Do you know anything about Muhammad? No. As a matter of fact, reason number one, why Muslims in the millions today are leaving Islam, because they got to know the real Muhammad. Reason number two, they become Almanis, they call themselves Almani, means believe in science. They become an atheist because they got to know the Quran. But the people of the West are embracing Islam without noticing anything about Muhammad or Islam, and saying words in Arabic without having any meaning of what they're saying. They don't know. They have no idea what they're saying. That is the foundation of Islam. Now, according to the Quran, can Muhammad be a prophet? I'm going to go fast here. Listen to what Allah said in Quran chapter 45 and verse 16.
And indeed, we gave the book and the wisdom and the prophethood to the children of Israel, and we provided them with the good things, and we favored them above the worlds.
Allah here is speaking in that verse, and Allah said, indeed, for certain, for sure, we gave the book and the prophet to the children of Israel. Was Muhammad one of the children of Israel? No, therefore, Muhammad could not be a prophet. How about Quran chapter 29 and verse 27? Listen to what Allah said in the Quran.
And we granted him Isaac and Jacob, and we assigned the prophethood and the book to his descendants.
Who is his descendants? Jacob's descendants. Israel. Once again, the Quran in that verse clearly teaching us that Muhammad cannot be a prophet. Why? Because he's not a descendant of Abraham. He's the descendant of Jacob, Israel. One Muslim will say he is a descendant of Abraham from Ishmael. Where is Ishmael here? By the way, if you know the true teaching of the Bible, Genesis 25, you will learn that Abraham have many sons. He's the father of many nations. The Arab came from Keturah, Genesis chapter 25, verses 1 to 6, not the descendant of Ishmael. The descendant of Ishmael, in the same chapter, Genesis 18, you read about the Ishmaelites, 12 sons of Ishmael, who have nothing to do with Arab. They don't even live in the same land. Keturah children live in the country of the east, that's Saudi Arabia. The children of Ishmael, the Ishmaelites, live north between Egypt and Havilah. Havilah and Syria. Move on to the second pillar in Islam. They teach our children in our public school that Muslims pray 5 times a day. Yes, indeed. Fajr, Zohr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. 5 times a day. And by the way, they have to pray in the Arabic language. Why? Because Allah does not understand English. And how many of the Muslims in planet Earth today understood what they're saying? How many of them understand what they're saying in their prayer? How about if I tell you 87% of the Muslims in the world today, they're repeating words in the Arabic language and they have no clue what they're saying. Even the leaders, the Muslim imams in America who come from these foreign countries like Afghanistan and Pakistan and Indonesia and many of these Muslim countries, they have no clue what they're saying in their prayer. But Muslims pray five times a day. Now we ask the question, why five times a day? There's a long story in the book of the Hadith. The Quran supposed to be the revelation of Allah to Muhammad through Angel Gabriel. The Hadith, the saying of Muhammad, the words of Muhammad, as it was collected years and years later, and also his sunnah, his action, what Muhammad used to do. Muhammad told the story about his ascension to the seven heavens. He was taken from his bed in Mecca, went all the way to Jerusalem, where he tied his mule, which I call the supersonic mule, to one of the columns of the Temple of Solomon, not realizing that the temple was gone in the year 70 AD. Muhammad did not know that. See, the story starts with a lie. And then he was taken from there. By the way, when he was in Jerusalem, all the prophets, Jesus and Moses and David and everybody was behind him, and they praised a Muslim prayer. That's why Muslims believe in the right to have the holy mosque, the Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem. Then he was taken by his supersonic mule to the seven heavens. And when he arrived to the seven heaven, to make the long story short, Allah told him, I want you to tell the Muslim believers to pray 50 times a day. He met with Moses somewhere between the fourth or the fifth heaven. Different Muslims call it a different number. Some say he was in the fourth heaven. Some said Moses was in the fifth heaven. But anyway, Moses said, what did Allah say? He said 50. He said 50 times a day, go back to Allah, negotiate. And it go from 50 to 45 to 40 to 35 to 30 to 25. Back to Moses, back to Allah, go to Moses, go to Allah. And then Allah said, okay, five times. That's why Muslim people pray today five times. By the way, when he went back to his bed was still warm. It's so much I can talk about that because the Quran contradicts that story. Because the angels go from heaven to earth in a day equal to 1,000 years. I'm sorry, 2,000 years. And another hadith, another verse in the Quran, 50,000 years. So I don't know how in the world Muhammad was able to go with Angel Gabriel all these trips, 16 times, 17 times, come back to his bed and his bed's still warm. It's made up story. That's why Muslims pray five times a day. The third pillar in Islam is the pillar of zakat. That's when Muslims used to give in Muhammad days 20% of the spoil. What is the spoil? That's the money they steal from the Christians and the Jews and the idol worshippers after they kill the men and take the women and the children. 20% go to Allah and Muhammad. As a matter of fact, you read about that in the book of Anfal, the book of spoils, chapter 8 in the Quran. Today they make it 2.5%. I don't even know who come up with this number. 2.5%. But Muslim gave. As a matter of fact, their mosque in America is built by the little giving of the many Muslims in the Middle East. That is the third pillar. Now, the fourth pillar is a miracle. Why? It's a Ramadan. Muslims are going to be celebrating the month of Ramadan. That's when they fast. No, they don't fast. Muslims never fasted a day in their life. Muhammad never fasted a day in his life. Why is that? Because biblically, the day starts as the sunset. What Muslims do when the sunset? They start eating. When they stop eating, when the daylight show up. So they actually turn the day to night and the night to day. They eat four, five, sometimes six meals during the night, and they fast during the day, and they don't work. Many of them don't work in the month of Ramadan. According to their belief, we all fast all night long. How many of you eat while you sleep?
Well, just one segment in, and surely you will agree, this presentation is full of information on the true nature of Islam. Coming up at the end of today's broadcast, we will share what you need to do to actually own your own DVD copy of this entire rally that includes Usama's PowerPoint slides. Do stay with us. Crosstalk will continue.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, when the Ice Age happened, was the Earth just covered in snow, like one big snowball?
Not at all, Chris, but there is a lot of evidence that the ice sheets which started up in Canada did come down into the U.S., but they didn't cover the entire globe at all. Actually, the Ice Age wasn't a time of bitter cold either. The summers were probably colder, such that the ice and snow which fell during the winter did not melt, but the winters were probably warmer on average than today. Today, if it gets really cold, it doesn't snow much because the cold air can't hold much moisture. The warmer the air, the more the moisture, the more the snow. And that's what's needed for an ice age. Just such a combination of factors would have happened right after the flood, essentially caused by the flood. By the way, that's the flood mentioned back in Genesis.
For more on the foundational principles set forth in Genesis, visit us on the web at www.icr.org.
We're back on Crosstalk with the true nature of Islam from the VCY rally in March of 2020. Before the break, Usama had just explained four of the five pillars of Islam. We'll pick right back up from there.
Now, how much truth we've seen so far in these first five pillars? But that's not what they're teaching your children. They're making these five pillars the five beautiful pillars of Islam. And Muslim fast, and Muslim pray, and Muslim give because they're charitable. Ask where the money come from. Oh, they stole it from the Christian and give it to who? To Allah and Muhammad. Yeah, makes sense. And Muslim do the Hajj. There is no place on planet Earth you can visit to receive forgiveness of sin. Not even the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. You have to believe in the Christ who died and rose again, not in his empty tomb. Let's go to pillar number six. Now, Muslims do not talk about pillar number six. They actually practice in it. We Christian Americans know how to talk about evangelism. As a matter of fact, I guarantee you, in your churches, there's one or two or maybe three programs already been approached from your pulpit to you to go out and share the gospel with your neighbors, witnessing to the lost people. And I wonder how many of the Christian in our churches are really, really into sharing the gospel with the lost. Muslims don't talk about it. They just do it. You know how they do it? Attend the interfaith meeting. You know how they do it? Open your children's textbooks and learn what they teach them. Because what they're doing there is Muslimizing your children without your knowledge, without your understanding. Dawah is to invite people to Islam. Last pillar, which is the most important pillar, it is the pillar of Hajj. What is Hajj? Listen.
You and I sitting here, in their interpretation, I should take out a sword, put it on your neck and say, do you accept Islam or not? And if you don't, I cut off your head. That's what a jihadist would do.
People see us as extremists because we don't compromise the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We accept it with every word and every utterance of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that no Muslim can turn away from one ayah of the Quran, one verse of the Quran. If we don't accept this, we actually become disbelievers.
We must prepare to die now, but to take vengeance upon these Zionist Jews is our right. Allah has given us the right to defend ourselves.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned jihad in the Quran 26 times, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned qital fi sabilillah 79 times. Qital fi sabilillah is fighting via physical fighting.
So now we got two different opinions of what jihad is. The Imam on BBS said, well, in their interpretation, oh, the radicals, the extremists, that's not Islam. What is jihad, Mr. Imam? They put the sword over your neck and they say, do you accept Islam or not? That is the da'wah, pillar number six. If you said no, off with your head. That's not Islam. That is in their interpretation. What does the book Sharia said about jihad? The Reliance of the Traveler, written in America for the last 30 years in English. I wonder how many of our senators, how many of our congressmen and women, how many of our politicians have read that book in English by the hand of the Muslims. We're going to hear, what does he really believe about jihad in a minute? The other Muslim imam is actually in England. He's telling it openly. We cannot compromise the word of Allah. Allah said we have to fight. Allah said we have to kill you. If you don't accept Islam, we'll kill you. So it's not actually his opinion. He's talking about the word of Allah, the Quran, which by it we judge Islam. The nature of Islam is not what I say or some Muslim imam stand next to me here and tell you, but the nature of Islam, it is in the Quran, the word of Allah. The nature of Islam is in the Hadith, the saying of Muhammad. The nature of Islam is in the Sunnah, how Muhammad practiced Islam. If it is in the Quran, it is Islam. If it is in the saying and the action of Muhammad, it is Islam. Otherwise, it's hogwash. 26 verse Allah in the Quran talk about jihad. I wonder how many of you can literally right now stand up and quote me 5 or 10. Why not? Can you quote me the name of the 30, 40 players of your favorite team, football, baseball, basketball? What are we doing in America? What is more important? The names of some football players or the word of Allah, which will bring the destruction of your children and your grandchildren? What is more important? He will not compromise the word of Allah. He breaks it, otherwise he will become an infidel himself. And he is right. And he is right.
And do not consider those who were killed for the sake of Allah as dead, yet they are alive with their Lord, receiving their provision.
As we're going to see a little bit in our study, you will know that every Muslim, when he or she dies, they will go to hell. Only those who were killed for the sake of Allah guarantee the paradise. You can practice the first six pillars of Islam. You can pray five times a day. You can say the Shahada. You can give zakat. You give money. And you can fast Ramadan. And you can do the Hajj. And all your sin is forgiven. And you can lead thousands and thousands of the Americans to Islam by practicing da'wah. And when you die, you can spend eternity in hell. Only when you die and you get killed while performing jihad, that is the guarantee, the green light to paradise. Let me prove it to you. Another verse.
Those who believed and emigrated and performed jihad for the sake of Allah with their money and with their lives of the highest degree with Allah, and those are the triumphant.
How you be triumphant in Islam is to do three things. First, believe. Second, you immigrate, like the Muslims who are coming to America in the hundreds of thousands. Third, you perform jihad for the sake of Allah. That verse is repeated in the Quran so many times, I believe 11 times, same words, 11 times, same word, those who believe and immigrate and perform jihad. Listen to the next following verse.
Their Lord gives them good news of mercy from himself and of his good pleasure and gardens. They will have in it everlasting bliss.
How long is they going to be in that garden?
They will abide in it forever and ever. Surely Allah has great wages.
This is the guarantee in Islam. You die for the sake of Allah. You perform jihad and welcome to paradise. We're going to learn more about the heaven of Muhammad as we continue.
And those who were killed for the sake of Allah, so he will not let their works go astray. He will guide them and reform their condition. And he will admit them into the garden of which he made known to them.
You got the point? I can quote you plenty of verses in the Quran. There is no way you read in the Quran, those who pray will make it to paradise. No, who perform jihad. Those who give the zakat, those who visit Mecca will make it to paradise. No, those who perform jihad. The promise of Allah is given to the jihadi, whom in America we call radicals or extremists. Do you understand now why they're willing to die? Because they want to get to paradise. What does the Quran teach? When I read that subtitle from Brother Jim, I said, how in the world he expect me to talk about that in less than 5-6 hours? But we'll do our best. What the Quran teach? So I got picked up just a few things, and by the way, I'm giving you only small examples. We can talk about it in depth longer some other time. Here's what's saying. First thing, what does the Quran teach about the Bible? Do you know if you talk to any Muslim in the world today, as you're going to hear me say this again, they will tell you the Bible has been corrupted. The Bible has been changed. Every Muslim in planet Earth believes in that. And if they will not say it to you openly in your face, it's just because they're lying to you. They want to gain your friendship. They want you to turn away from them and say, oh, that guy's radical. But every Muslim believes in that. But the Quran does not teach that. As a matter of fact,
Muhammad said that the Bible cannot be changed.
You can't change the Bible. We have our presentation, Has the Bible Been Corrupted? It's available a good 1.5 hour where I talk about that point alone. Where I quote many, many verses from the Quran. And by the way, we talk about it in the green booklet, which is available on our table as well. Very important. If you're going to minister to the Muslim people, you have to assure them that the Bible is the perfect word of God. Let me give you just one verse. Here we go.
Surely we have sent down the reminder, and surely we will be its guardian.
Who is we here? Who is speaking here? Allah Almighty. He sent down the Bible, and he is the one who's protecting it. People of the reminder, the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians. In other verses in the Quran, Allah said, none can change the word of Allah, just as the Muslims. When the Bible was written originally, was it written corrupted? No. Moses received it perfectly. David received it perfectly. Jesus received it perfectly. So it used to be the word of Allah. Yes, indeed. It used to be perfect. Yes, indeed. Allah said, none can change the word of Allah. End of story. If the Bible used to be right, that means it will forever be right. You got my point? Let's move on. What does it teach about God?
Muhammad taught that God is unknowable and unapproachable. He is only to be feared.
I don't talk about fear of reverence because we fear God as Christians. I'm talking about fear of being frightened that he's going to send you to hell. Being frightened that you're scared of him. We don't scare. We're not scared from our God. Yes, he is our friend. He is our loving God. He is our loving Father. And he is everything we wish to have in a true God. But that's not the God of Muhammad. That's not the God of Islam.
And fear Allah. And know that Allah is severe in the punishment.
You see that kind of fear? Allah is severe in the punishment. He's going to send you to hell. And man, if you read about the pain of the tomb and the punishment of the tomb, as Muhammad taught to the Muslim believers, as they believe it, it is so unimaginable what Muslim will go through just to be put in the tomb after death. Let's talk about God and Allah. Is God, the word God, is the same word Allah? One of the repeated questions I've heard from many people as I've been traveling now, doing this ministry for the last 18 years or so. Is the word teacher, is the same word ustaz in the Arabic language? Yes. Is the word president, is the same word ra'is in the Arabic language? Yes. Is the word doctor, is the same word doctor in the Arabic language? Yes. Is the word Allah, is the same word God? Yes. It's a title. If you go to the Spanish, it will be Deus. You cannot tell a Spanish guy, Deus is not God. No, Deus is God. As a matter of fact, the Bible talk about God in a singular form. The Bible talk about gods, plural. Well, how many gods do we have in the Bible? There's only one God. But believe it or not, anything and everything you put in your life before God becomes your God. If you love your father or your mother, your spouse or your children, somebody, something before God, more than God, that something or that some person becomes your God. That's the truth. That's why God said, you cannot love anybody more than me or near me. So, now we ask the question a little bit closer. Is Allah the God of Muhammad, the God of Islam? Is the same Allah the God of Christianity for the Christians who speak Arabic? Because in my Bible, it says Allah. Is Allah of the Bible, is the same Allah of the Quran? Absolutely not. I can quote a verse from the Bible, John 3:16. لأنه هكذا أحب الله العالم حتى بذل ابنه الوحيد. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That verse alone, it tells me that the Allah I'm talking about have nothing to do with the Allah of the Quran. Why? Because my Allah have a son. My Allah love me. My Allah offer his son to die on the cross for me. That's not the God of the Quran, as we're going to see a little bit more in our study tonight.
Usama Dakdak giving answers to so many questions. The presentation, The True Nature of Islam, from a VCY rally in Southeast Wisconsin. When we come back, we will actually fast forward to allow Usama to cover what he deems a big problem for Islam and what it is that Islam falsely teaches about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Whoa. Cemeteries and mausoleums are evidence of the sad reality of death, and that each of us has a divine appointment with death. According to surveys, Americans overwhelmingly believe that heaven exists and believe that most are going there. A small number believes that hell exists, with only 0.5% believing they will go there when they die. What if those who do not believe in hell die one day and find they made a tragic and eternal mistake? In the book, Hell is for Real, author Gary Fraser discusses the separation, the suffering, and the sorrow of hell, along with future events that will unfold. There is much information given by movies, television, psychics, and even by many religious circles. Gary presents scriptural truth on this important topic. VCY is making available the book, Hell Is For Real, as our way of saying thank you for your support of $15 or more. Two copies for a donation of $25. Just ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk and the True Nature of Islam. Available on DVD, which not only lets you see this presentation, but to also glean from Usama's PowerPoint slides as well. Coming up, we'll of course share with you how you can order.
And a messenger to the children of Israel. Indeed, I came to you with a sign from your Lord. I create for you the figure of a bird from the clay. So I breathe into it, so it will become a bird by Allah's permission. And I heal the blind and the leper, and I raise the dead by Allah's permission. And I inform you about what you eat and what you store in your houses. Surely in this is a sign for you, if you were believers.
This is Quran chapter 3, verse 49, where Muslims have a big problem. You know why? Here we go. He gave four of these names to Jesus. He is Al-Khaliq, the creator. He is the healer, Al-Shafi. He is the Muhi, the one who raised the people from the dead. He is Alam al-Ghuyub, the known of the unseen. Now we know from that verse, Quran chapter 3 and verse 49, that Allah is Jesus and Jesus is Allah. Because Allah will not share these four attributes, creator, healer, the one who raised the dead, and the knowing of the unseen or the unknown, except Allah. Allah alone has these four names. Muhammad did not even have one of them. But let's talk about what the Quran teaches about the crucifixion. In that one verse, Muhammad denied the crucifixion. One ambiguous verse in the Quran, and Muhammad used to deny the foundation of Christianity. And in the same time, Muslims in America will tell you, we believe in Jesus. What Jesus? Listen.
And they're saying, surely we killed the Christ Jesus, son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. And they did not kill him. And they did not crucify him, but it was made to appear to them. And surely those who disagree about him are in doubt of him. They do not have any knowledge of him except following the conjecture. And they did not kill him for certain. Yet Allah raised him up to himself, and Allah was dear, wise.
They did not kill Jesus. They did not crucify Jesus. It was made to appear to them. And when you hear the interpretation of Muslim scholar, you cannot help but to laugh. They will tell you, when the Jewish people went to arrest Jesus in the upper room, somehow Allah figured out that they're going to deceive Jesus, they're going to kill Jesus, and Allah is the best deceiver. That's what this verse is about. So Allah deceived the Jewish people by making Jesus and his 19 disciples Jesuses. So when they opened the room, guess what they found in the room? 20 Jesus. They all look alike. Same voice, same height, same mustache. So the Jewish people told the Jesuses, which one of you is the real Jesus? If you're not going to tell us which one is the real Jesus, we're going to crucify all of you. So they say, okay, leave us alone for a minute. And then Jesus asked, which one would like to have a better place in heaven? You know, front view, beach, more women, whatever. That's how Muslims think of heaven. Me, Lord, who is a young man. He said, no, not you, somebody else. Me, Lord, the same guy. No, not you, somebody else. Peter, John, Timothy, anybody else? No. And then Allah told them, that is the one who will take your place. So all of them turned back to the normal looks on their body and face. Jesus escaped from the window up to the sky, and that little one who made look like Jesus is the one who died instead of Jesus on the cross. They deceive, and Allah deceive, and Allah is the best deceiver. Makes sense, is it? Now let's read what Isa, that Jesus of Muhammad, said in the Quran, in chapter 19 and verse 33 and 34. This is Isa's word, the little baby who came out of his mama's belly talking baby. Read the Quran chapter 19, so you know what I'm talking about. He did not say, wah, he just talked. Here's some of the words which Jesus said.
And peace be on me the day I was born, and the day I die, and the day I am raised alive. This is Jesus, son of Mary, the saint of truth about which they doubt.
Did really Jesus said that? beast on me the day I die. Yes, it's the future. Jesus will come back in the end of time. He will have four wives. He will break the cross, meaning get rid of Christianity and Christians. He will kill the pig, meaning he will get rid of the Jews. And he'll be a good Muslim. And then he will die. Future tense, you know. Beast on me the day I will die. How about that verse, Quran chapter 3, verse 55. And here Allah is telling us what?
When Allah said, O Jesus, surely I will cause you to die, and I will raise you up to me, and purify you from those who became infidels, and make those who follow you above those who became infidels until the day of resurrection. Then to me is your return, so I will judge between you about what you were differing.
Notice here, it is present tense. Allah is speaking to Isa, the Jesus of Muhammad. He said, I am causing you to die. Present tense. Let's go a little bit even better than that. Let's go to the future tense. No, the past tense, apologize. The past tense.
I did not tell them except what you had commanded me, that serve Allah, my Lord and your Lord. And I was a witness among them as long as I was with them. So when you caused me to die, you were the watcher over them, and you are the witness of all things.
فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي in the Arabic language. When you caused me to die. Past tense. And I can go on and on and on with many of contradiction of Muslim scholars' interpretation to more verses to say, yes, Jesus died. Well, he died for 3 hours. Maybe he died for half a day. Maybe he died. Did he die or not? The Quran said they did not kill him or nor crucify him. Notice the order, even weird order. You should crucify somebody first before you kill him. But that's okay. Allah does not know right order of anything. But now we know that he did die. By the way, because of that one verse, my friend Mark Gabriel, he used to be a professor in the Azhar University, used to be an imam in a mosque in Cairo. He became a Christian because of that one verse. Because he always believed that Jesus did not die. Somebody looked like Jesus, died instead of Jesus. But Jesus said to him, what? When you caused me to die, past tense. What about what the Quran teach about prayer?
Muhammad gave a very specific pattern of 5 public prayers each day. Prayers are to be repetitive and formal. So, when you will have completed the standing and sitting, so perform the prayer. Surely the prayers were prescribed at fixed times for the believers.
I wish I had more time to teach you about Muslim prayer, but we'll do it some other time, God's willing. How about forgiveness?
Muhammad could not forgive sins, and he could not ask God to forgive others.
Notice the verse in the Quran and the numbers Muhammad used in the Quran are always taken from the Bible. When you talk about forgiveness, which number do you think will be there? 70. Why? Because that's the same number which Peter was talking with Jesus about forgiveness. Listen to that.
Ask forgiveness for them, or do not ask forgiveness for them. If you ask forgiveness for them 70 times, so Allah will not forgive them.
No forgiveness in Islam. Yes, it is forgiveness. You just go ahead and kill a bunch of infidels and kill yourself. The first drop of the blood of the martyr for Allah will forgive all his sin. And that's how he guaranteed to enter paradise. But besides that, no. No forgiveness for sin.
Muhammad taught that God ultimately decides who he will forgive. A person has no say or choice. He forgives whom he wills, and he torments whom he will.
That's Quran chapter 3, verse 129. That is the nature of Islam. That's why Muslims do not have peace. They can do all the good things, the pillars of Islam, and go over and over many times and pray many times. There is no peace because they have no forgiveness. They know they cannot receive forgiveness because it's all up to Allah. Even the second man who led the Muslim people after Muhammad by the name Abu Bakr Siddiq, he said, if you have one foot in paradise and the other one out, he will not trust Allah because may Allah change his mind. After all, Allah is the best deceiver and Allah will remove him from paradise and send him to hell. Good works.
Muhammad taught that good works will erase sin.
And that is what everything Islam is. That's what I told you earlier. Muslims don't believe in anything. They just do stuff. Hopefully, it will work. Hopefully Allah will choose for them to be forgiven. Hopefully Allah will choose for them to be in paradise. But there is no guarantee of anything.
Surely good deeds drive away the evil deeds.
Good deeds drive away evil deeds. Quran 11, 114. How about mankind?
God controls the fate of all men. Your eternal destiny is up to God, not you.
So why people do anything? Why even go to a mosque? Why even go to the Hajj? Why you do any of the things of Islam if it's all up to Allah?
So Allah leads astray whom He wills and guides whom He wills, and He is the dear, the wise.
How can be Allah dear and wise and lead people astray? And if Allah leads people astray and the devil leads people astray, what is the difference between Allah and the devil? Any difference? That's Quran chapter 14, verse 4. How about the Jews and the Christians? When you talk to the Muslims in America, they will tell you, we believe in Moses and we love the Jewish people. We believe in Jesus and we love the Christian people. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, three branches come out of one tree, the Abrahamic tree. And if you attend any of the interfaith meetings, or if you read any of the textbooks which is written all over our public school for our children, that is exactly the same repeated message which Muslims are teaching your children and your grandchildren in this country. And Usama Daktok is Islamophobe. And he's a racist. And he's hate monger because he's telling the American people, no, they're lying to you. Muslims are not telling you the truth. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in Moses. They don't practice any of the teaching of Jesus and Moses. And they are here to hate the Jews and the Christians. Well, let me give you the evidence from the Quran. Let's go. Quran chapter 98, verse 6, where Allah said,
surely those who became infidels from the people of the book and polytheists will abide in the fire of hell forever. Those are the worst of the creatures.
You are the worst of the creatures. If you think a pig is the worst of creatures, or a black dog is the worst of the creatures, you are worse than the pigs and black dogs. And Allah will send you for sure to hell, and you will abide in hell forever, unless you convert to Islam, say the Shahada, and do all these things we talked about already. What else? Quran chapter 1, verses 5 and 6.
Guide us to the straight way, the way of those whom you have graced, the Muslims, not those whom the wrath is against, the Jews, nor the lost ones, the Christians.
Imagine with a Muslim when they pray in their 17 repeated prayers, they have to read these words. And they know exactly what they're saying. What we have between the bracket here, the words, the Muslims, the Jews, and the Christian, is not in the text. But that is the only meaning, and that is the only interpretation Muslim scholar as Muhammad gave to all Muslim believers. So they want to be guided to Islam, not to Judaism, because Judaism is the way of those whom the wrath of Allah is against. They don't want to be a Christian because they want to be dull, lost, because all dolls and all those whom the wrath of Allah against will spend eternity in hell. How about this verse? 551.
O you who have believed, do not take the Jews and the Christians as friends. They are friends to one another. And whoever among you takes them as friends, so surely he is of them. Surely Allah does not guide the unjust people.
That's why Muslims will never take a Christian for a friend. Trust me, all the Muslims who will ever take me for a friend, a true friend, they will become a Christian. Because that is a very important step to lead them to Christ, is to trust you, to love you, to take you really as a friend.
Still so much to cover and so little time to do it. Coming up in our final segment, Usama Daktok shares with us how to share the Jesus of the Holy Bible with Muslims. You might be surprised.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. My friends, behind the coronavirus pandemic, there seems to be an agenda that involves Planned Parenthood and the Marie Stopes International. These are groups that, according to numerous reports, have received massive funding from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Well, we know that Planned Parenthood was started by someone into eugenics, Margaret Sanger, who referred to people of color as weeds. We also know that Marie Stopes actually wrote a letter to Adolf Hitler long after it was evident what his worldview was all about. Many of these people, like the Gates Foundation, are now calling for population control and reducing the population. Numerous reports reveal that some of the vaccines that have been produced and given to folks in third world countries have caused those women to abort or caused them to become sterile. My friends, we need to be aware of a eugenics agenda behind the global vaccine program.
Crosstalk on the VCY America Radio Network, final segment of The True Nature of Islam with Usama Dakdak. These closing moments, quite possibly the most important.
How to reach Muslims for Christ? We have a problem. Muslims are here, and they're not going anywhere. They double their number every 10 years. If we have 10 million Muslims in America today, and I believe we have more than 20, if we have 10 million Muslims in America today, that means 10 years from now, we'll have 20. 20 years from now, we'll have 40. 30 years from now, we'll have 80 million. 40 years from now, we'll have 160 million Muslims in America. 40 years from now. I'm not talking about 400 years from now. 40 years from now. They're not going anywhere. If you don't love them and lead them to Christ, God Almighty will be using them to discipline you as a church and to take over this country, to bring His judgment on this country. So how we minister to Muslim people? Maybe we just take some of our tracts, maybe we take our Bible and go and tell them about Jesus. What we say and what we hear. What we Christians say and what we hear.
Oh, hello. My name is Randy. I'm a local Christian, and I'm out sharing with people from the Bible today about how Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross for our sins so that we could have eternal life. Would you like to know more?
That's exactly what we normally do when we minister to somebody we do not know from a Christian background, Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian. Now, I want you to listen carefully to the next video now. What we say and what Muslims hear. Same video, same words. Same guy, but listen carefully how Muslims hear us.
Well, hello. My name is Randy, and I'm a local polytheist infidel, and I'm out today sharing with folks from a corrupted book about the prophet Isa, who is actually, we believe, one of three different gods, and how by believing in him who didn't die on the cross for your sins, you can become an infidel and burn in hell forever. Would you like to know more?
Why, when you go knock at the Muslim door, or you talk to the Muslim, and you tell them all the goodness of your Christianity, why does he don't listen to you? Why does he say, no, thank you? Because that's not how we should approach the Muslims. Ministering to the Muslim is not like ministering to Jehovah's Witness, or Mormon, or Catholic, or Baptist by name. It does not work that way. It's different. So how are we going to do that? You see, you cannot communicate without the same language. If I spoke to you tonight in the Arabic language, I promise you, in the last hour, I can do much better job in my Arabic language, and you leave this building empty. Nothing. You'll learn nothing. So we have to speak the same language. Not only we have to speak the same language, but we also have to have the same understanding to the words we use. You cannot share the gospel without the same understanding. When I say Jesus, what do I mean by Jesus? Because Muslims believe in Jesus. He's a good teacher. He's a good prophet. He's a good man. He's not the Son of God. He did not die on the cross. So when you tell the Muslim about Jesus and they believe in Jesus, they leave the meeting after talk with him for 15 minutes without going anywhere. Why? Because you assume they believe in Jesus and they tell you I believe in Jesus, but you don't know what they understand who Jesus is and what Jesus did for them. How about the Bible? Yes, the Bible is corrupted. We heard Brother Randy. How about sin? What is sin in Islam? Do you know that in the Quran there is no sin? If you talk about lying, lying is sin. Yes, the Bible said, thou shalt not lie. Revelation 21:8, liars will go to hell. That's the Bible. You know what the Quran teach? It's okay to lie. It's okay to lie in your oath. Muhammad said, it is lawful for Muslims to lie in three cases. What? For your wife, to make them happy, to be pleased. You can lie to your enemy because war is deception. You can lie to your friends to make peace between them. So in simple words, you can lie to everybody. So where is the sin of lie? Where is the sin of stealing? What is the sin of this? And all the sin. So if you don't understand the problem of sin, how can you explain to the Muslim the solution of salvation? There's no sin. There's no salvation. If Allah chooses for me to be a Muslim, I'm a Muslim. If Allah chooses for me to go to hell, I'll be in hell. If Allah chooses for me to go to paradise, I'll go to paradise. There's nothing about sin and salvation. It doesn't exist. There are things Muslims believe about Christianity that are not true. I wish I have time to cover each one of these for a good half hour each. But things Muslims believe about Islam that are not true. There are things Muslims do not know anything about because it's missing. It doesn't exist in Islam. And there are things that Muslims deny completely. The Quran deny very important foundation of our Christian faith to the Muslims. And that's how we can share the gospel with Muslim people. These are very important four things. And the more you know about Muslims and what Muslims believe about Islam, the better you're equipped to reach the Muslim with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me put it this way. Muslim is a man or a woman who grew up all his life to believe in these 114 chapter of the book of the Quran. And the only way you can take that Muslim to believe in that book is to make him disbelieve in everything in the Quran. And if you don't know anything about the Quran, if you just got the Quran from my table to collect dust with it in your house, on your table, it means nothing. You need to study the book. You need to learn more about the book. Get other books to help you to understand that book so you can be better equipped to reach out to the Muslim with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why. Not only purchase the Quran, but read the Quran. Not only purchase the Quran, but share what you learn from the Quran with others as well. Now, the Quran teaches it is the perfect word of Allah. In that green booklet, I have three important facts. Number one, this one here. Number two, the Quran cannot be the word of God. Number three, the true message of Christianity. Now, if I will lead the Muslim to leave Islam without getting this point in, before I start telling how bad Islam is, well, guess what? He will become an atheist. I did the same mistake many times in my life. In the early days of our ministry, I would tell the Muslim, do you know that the Quran teaches the earth is flat? No way. I open the Quran, he goes, oh, yeah, it is flat. Do you know that Allah said in the Quran that a mama can be pregnant for 5 years? No way. Yes, it is. And I show him the Quran. So before you show the Muslims the errors of Islam, shows him from the Quran that the Bible is the perfect word of God. Not from the Bible, because he already believes the Bible is corrupted. I say, do you believe in the Quran? Yeah. You sure the Quran is the perfect word of Allah? Yeah. Let me share with you a few verses from the Quran, and now you know for sure from the Quran that the Bible is the perfect word of God.
Well, friends, truly, we did scratch the surface. Yet to see this rally in its entirety, order a DVD copy for yourself or to share with a friend. Call our switchboard during business hours, 1-800-729-9829. Ask for The True Nature of Islam with Usama Dakdak. Our thanks to Usama and the Straight Way of Grace Ministry. On behalf of Jim Schneider, I'm Dalton Windsor. Thank you for listening. Keep a song in your heart, a song of praise.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.